Today, I'm going to be brief.
Woo!
And sorry, I know you couldn't do it because I was watching you. Some of you on the inside were going, woo. But as you've seen, as you walked in, there's a whole bunch of different like things set up. We're going to move some chairs around and things like that to be able to get better access to them. But it's our hope that today might be a different way for us to do church, but a good way. There might be some real great things in what we do today that might help you to be able to inspire you, perhaps, to pray in a different way. There are a bunch of different quotes that I've read this week, and I've just got a few of them that I thought were really poignant as far as prayer goes. Charles Spurgeon says, "True prayer is neither a mere mental exercise nor a vocal performance. It's far deeper than that. It is a spiritual transaction with the Creator of heaven and earth." William Temple says, "When I pray, coincidences happen, and when I don't, they don't." It's interesting, right? It's an interesting thought, I thought, yeah. Max Lucado says, "Our prayers may be awkward, our attempts may be feeble, but since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it and not in the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference." How comforting that is for me as I read that. I'm like, oh, thank you, God, that you know more than I in my prayers. Timothy Keller says, "God will either give us what we ask or give us what we would have asked if we knew everything He knows." That's good, right? Sometimes we don't get because He knows best, and that's a good way to kind of have that idea of prayer. Now there are a heap of different things. We could do a whole series on prayer and not reach the end of what prayer is. So I just want to give you a couple of thoughts today to equip you then with those and then send you off. The first thought comes from 1 John 5:21 says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him." So the first thing I thought of in this verse that really hit me as being really impacting is this idea of we have confidence when we go to God. And how amazing that is, that we would have confidence. Now, this word could also be translated boldness. It can also be, it's the broadest sense that when we go to God, we can not only be confident that we can speak to the God of the universe, but also that this sense that when we come to God, we can be open and honest. It's that we can't hold anything back because He knows it all anyway. We have this ability to speak to God. Now get this picture in your mind of the God who is the greatest being in the universe, who was and existed before time and will still exist after time ceases, this incredible, perfect, holy being, God, who wants to hear from us, that we can go to Him with confidence, with assurity that He will hear us. Now, imagine if, just imagine, this might be a stretch, Malcolm Turnbull's down doing a PR exercise down at the plaza, okay? Prime Minister of Australia, for those who are new arrivals from New Zealand, just helping you out here a little bit. Malcolm Turnbull, he's down at the plaza, and I go up to him and I say, "Hey Mal, we've been thinking, you know, Kruger Baptist, we're just down the road, we're thinking of building a theme park there. Would you mind giving us, you know, a few million dollars so that we can build this theme park? It's going to be awesome. Mal, are you on board?" Now, at that point in time, most likely, I would imagine, Malcolm Turnbull, Prime Minister of Australia, would turn and go and kiss another baby. You know, like continue on with his PR exercise. "That's great, crazy man, but I'm going to keep turning and I'm going and doing what I'm meant to be doing here." He would have the right, as someone of incredible power and stature in our country, to absolutely ignore an insane request from a babbling fool who just goes, I'm sure he gets that from a lot of people, right? So that makes sense. But if his grandson came up to him and said, "Granddad," I saw a picture, he's still small, "Granddad, you know, can Kruger Parade build a theme park? And can you give him $3 million because you've got lots of money?" Now, he may still ignore the crazy request, okay, because his grandson. But because it's his grandson, he's going to turn and listen and be interested in what the child has to say. He might at the end of it say, wow, that's a really interesting idea, grandson, but we might, you know, have to do a bit more study before I hand out or write a check. But he's going to be interested and he's going to listen because it's his grandson. We, in a similar way, have access to the God of heaven that when we go to him, we have confidence, we have this ability to speak to the God of heaven, and he's interested in what we have to say. Sometimes, to the God of heaven, what we have to say will not be very smart, because he's the God of heaven and we are asking for a theme park, you know, like equivalent. You know, you might ask for a Ferrari, or you might just ask for all the stuff for yourself. And he's like, there. You know, you're trying, but you don't need that now because I know better for you. You need some more suffering. No, hopefully not. But you know, so God, Malcolm, he looks down at his grandson. He understands. It's a grandson. It's a little kid. In the same way, God looks at us, but he loves us. He doesn't ignore. We have this confidence to go up to the most powerful being in the universe and ask and speak to him. But the other half of this verse says that we have confidence in approaching him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now that's interesting, because if we go to him and ask for something that's outside of his will, then the inverse is also true. He won't hear us. Well, he'll still hear us, but his answer will obviously be no, because it's against what his will is. And so that leads us to ask the question, well, what is God's will? Well, that's a big question. We don't have time to cover the whole of God's will here this morning, but it is to say that there are a few ways that we can connect to God to understand his will more. The clearest, the best, the most consistent way that we can engage with God and his will is that we would read his word. Now, I know this isn't a sermon about reading your Bible, but if we want to know what God's will is, we actually need to read our Bibles. Because in a day today where we have immediate access to so much knowledge, and we live in a very experiential time where people just want to have things, they you know, go to a shop and they want instantly to have whatever they need. And so we're in this world where everything is about instant. I want something, I ask for it, I get it. And that's what we are used to in our world today in an increasing way. We're getting more and more used to just being instant. Yet when we go to God, the clearest way, the way that's been working for 2,000 years, and if Jesus doesn't return soon, it might keep going for the next 2,000 years, the best way to know God is to look at how he's revealed himself in his word. Now I've been a Christian probably, you know, 30 years, something like that, and most of the days of my life, I've, not every day, okay, without lightning bolts, a lot of days in my life, I've read this Bible. I've read parts of God's word to understand him more. Now, do I know it all? Absolutely not. I'm probably, after 30 years, at like 1% of knowing God. You know, like, God's big. There's a lot in God to know. But the more I read God's word, the more I get to know him. The closer I get in my relationship to him, the more I understand his word. In a world where so many people just want to know, God, what's your will? I just want an audible voice. I just want you to, like, open one door, shut another. Make it, you know, absolutely clear to me everything that you want. Just lay out a map and so I can just read it and just follow that. Seems to me, as I read and understand God's word, more and more that God wants us actually to just honor him. And as we get to know him, then our prayers start lining up with who he is. So if we want to know God's will, we've got to read God's word. Two other things about prayer that I just want to throw out there to help us understand. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus has an encounter and sees two different types of people praying. One person who's very holy and righteous, the other person who's a sinner, a tax collector, someone who everyone would look down upon and say, oh, they're clearly apart from God because of their job, they're a tax collector. When they prayed, they both prayed in very different ways. The righteous, religious, holy man kind of stood up and declared to God how great he was. The tax collector, the sinner, humbled himself and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. At the end, Jesus did not praise the holy, righteous person who thought he had it all together. He instead praised the one who was humble, who recognized in light of what he'd done that God was greater, that God was more holy, that he needed God in his life, not that God needed him in his life. And so when we come to pray, there needs to be a sense of God's holiness and our humility under God. That we say, okay, God, I'm understanding, I'm learning that you're great and I need to put myself way, way, way down to lift you up. So there must be humility in prayer. And the third thing comes out in a great passage in Mark chapter 9 where Jesus, he'd just been up on the mountaintop transfiguration, amazing stuff. He comes down and his disciples are arguing with these other religious holy people, the Pharisees. They thought that they'd got something over the disciples. The disciples had been praying for this kid who the Bible said he had a demonic spirit within this kid. Now when we're talking about demonic spirits and stuff, I know there's like crazy world kind of stuff here and we get a bit worried and concerned. This is in the Bible, so we've got to follow it. So here's this kid, and his father said of the kid, how long has he been like this? And the father said, from childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. The father, with this son, who was, it says, possessed by an evil spirit, was at the end of his rope, and he asked Jesus, he said, if you can do anything. Again, he's speaking, if only he had like hindsight about this. He's speaking to the God of the universe in human physical form. He's speaking to Jesus, the one who can do anything. And he says to him, if you could just do something, if you could just make it so maybe he doesn't get too close to a fire, so when he has this seizure, then he doesn't fall into the fire. Or if you could make it so that he wouldn't fall into the water, that'd be really great. Or if you could just lessen the seizures, if you could just make it a little less, that'd be... If you can, Jesus said, everything is possible for one who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Isn't that a great statement? I love that statement. It's the statement that echoes so much of my heart when I'm praying to God. I absolutely believe. Help me. I really don't believe. Like, I really want to believe, but I don't always believe in the same kind of level that I really... Like I want to believe like 100%, but right now I'm kind of like at 80% because I asked you this other thing and it didn't come through. And maybe I'm more like 70%, but I really want to be 100%. Help me with my unbelief. Again, he's putting himself in this humble situation saying, Jesus, I've seen you do it to all these others, but it's my kid. It's my kid, and he's done it over and over and over. Can you really do this thing? You've done a lot of things that are tough. Like yesterday we were in the car, and my kids were telling me a great story that they'd heard from someone else about a guy who'd broken his arm and it had protruded through his arm. It was awesome. The bone kind of stuck out through his arm. Great story. And as it was going, I just jokingly made the idea, oh, did his arm fall off? And no, it didn't fall off. It was incredibly funny if you were in the car. I said, if his arm had fallen off, you could pray and God could attach that arm. And they're like, no way. I said, yeah. That could seriously happen because God could do that. And he did it with an ear and he put that back on. So an arm, that's not impossible for God, right? And they're like, no. I'm like, yeah. Well, could God reattach an arm? Oh, man, if my arm fell off, that would be kind of awkward. I don't know how that would happen, but would I be praying right then and thinking, or would I be calling the ambulance? Ambulance, then praying, God, I truly believe you can do this. But I've seen the ambulance come and I know that 100% of the time the ambulance... Well, I don't know. I've not actually ever called an ambulance. But I know that. I've seen on TV, ambulances always come, right? So what do we do first? Do we pray or do we call an ambulance? Oh, help my unbelief. Because, man, I'd love to just have the belief to just grab my arm and reattach it and say, Jesus, could you just... And it just comes back to life. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't we love to have the kind of faith that just... It was so great that every time something happened in our lives, we just committed it to prayer and we just said, God, I believe 100% you're going to do this. I believe, help me with my unbelief. Well, Jesus healed this kid. It was amazing. Everyone would have just been astounded at seeing this kid who had been possessed by an evil spirit, kept falling over into fires and dangerous things. His disciples said, Jesus, why did we pray and that didn't happen? How come you prayed and it did happen? Jesus replied, this kind can only come out by prayer. It seems as though prayer is an incredible tool that we have to be able to communicate with God. We don't recognize how powerful it is. And so often we really don't give it the level of priority in our lives that really if we read the Bible and understand what happened in prayer, then we would be praying so much more. So my encouragement today, we have about half an hour where we are going to commit ourselves to pray. And I know this sounds incredibly scary to some of you, and so we've made opportunities for you to read things and be helped in your prayers, because we want to find different ways that not only today you can pray, but there might be some creative ways in the different stations that we have dotted around that you see and you go, wow, I could pray for this kind of thing at home. This could be a prayer, a style that I could take and I could use in other parts of my life. How great would that be that we might be equipping you, not just for today, but for your life. And so we're going to go from here and split into as many different stations as there are. Obviously, there's one down the front here and we'll move some chairs out of the way to make that a little more accessible. There's a communion prayer station in here. Every prayer station, to explain it to you, there are words that you have to read through and follow, so it's a self-guided prayer experience. That sounds good, doesn't it? Let's call it that. A self-guided prayer experience. So as you go in, there'll be some words to read to help you to understand how to go about doing communion by yourself. So communion's just there. We've got another one at the back that's talking about family trees. We've got another one just in front of the sound desk there, and we might pull some of those chairs forward so there's a bit more space there. There's a few out there. You walk past one with like paper chains outside. That's going to be interesting. You've walked past it. What's that all about? We'll go and have a look at that one. And then there's four, I think, along the outside veranda area. So those people who are near those doors, open them wide and we'll be able to. So you have about 30 minutes. And you'll hear music and stuff, and we'll call you back in at the end of that time. You can go to one and just spend the whole time just at one prayer station if you choose. Or you could kind of like fly around every one of them and get a little taste. That's okay as well. Whatever you would like to do, it's self-paced. It's your time to engage with God in different and various ways. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to send you off into your Sunday morning prayer stations. Let's pray. God, what an incredible privilege it is that we can speak to you and that you listen. It's insane to think that you hear us. We are so small and you're so great. How is it, Lord, that you care for and love us so much? But you say you do in your word, so we just must trust it. Help us, Lord, as we go through this time, to clear our minds of the busyness and just to rest in you. Help us, Lord, to pour out our hearts in prayer and adoration as we go through these stations. May they affect us. And may, Lord, you answer the prayers of hearts that are in line with your will. We pray this in your holy and mighty name. Amen. 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 See you in half an hour. Ready, set, go.